production of WCLE Cleveland and a production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio, your home for NASCAR. We're racing talk radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Chain Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Chain Studio, it's Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Welcome to the fastest hour in racing, as I'm pushing buttons and trying to talk here. Whether you're listening to us on Talk 101 through the Buzz or on the TuneIn app, thanks for joining us and making us a part of your day. We'll be breaking down this week's race at Dover. Not a surprising winner, for those of you that pay attention to the sport. Jimmy Johnson rolls to his 11th win at Dover. Later in the show, we'll talk about the tricky triangle. And as always, we'll have your power rankings and picks to win. We've got all that and more today here on Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on Talk 101 through the Buzz. I'm Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand to my right. How are we doing today, buddy?
Doing good. How about yourself?
We have our leader, our team leader, he's on the phone, but we're going to make him wait because he's not here. Because I don't want to hear any more bragging. How hard is it?
That's stepping out on a limb.
Yeah, how hard is it to pick
48
to win? But we do have Jamie Kyle join us. Mr. Kyle, how are we doing today, buddy?
Well, I mean, I couldn't be doing any better. It's the second time that I've picked the 48, and, second time
I've
won.
Did you
I don't know what else to say.
Do you dislocate your shoulder when talking about your racing picks? Maybe we just need to run you out to Vegas.
Too often.
Maybe we need to run you out to Vegas.
Well, that might be a good idea. I mean, if my streak keeps going, I pick the 18, I pick the 48, whoever I put
in
my power.
What race is the 18? By the way, what race is the 18
one? I mean, all he's doing out there is, about
blowing up tires.
Breaking his tire, changer's hand, and blowing them up, and getting his crew chief suspended for 4 weeks.
Listen, I thought about this. You know, I'm going to coach a baseball game tonight, my all-star team, and I thought about if I lost, I'm going to have a post-race press conference. And, I'm just going to throw out one sentence like, yeah, I'm fully aware of what happened. And
congratulations.
Then, congratulations.
And drop the mic and walk off. Yeah. No, I totally get that. I totally believe that you need to go ahead and do that.
And you could even throw out everything is great, Jamie. You know, you can even say that, too.
We could do that. I mean, as I'm eating my caramel M&Ms, I'm thinking, that I can get Sarah Norcus from the Cleveland Daily Banner to come out and do the post-game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely. Except she's a Penguins fan, so I don't know that I can tolerate that right now.
No hockey tonight, but she might be able to make it.
She might be able to make it. That'd be good for you.
Yeah, it'll be good. So, yeah, man, hey, good race at Dover. I was, you always think of Dover in concrete and, them running around a couple extra lines there. And then with, Larson and Truex getting into it a little bit. And then I think everybody's talking about the big wreck at the end and that, we finally got to use the overtime line. And then there was a little controversy.
A little controversy. There's a lot of controversy. I think
when the 88 comes out and says something,
when the 88, when it's like E.F. Hutton, when he speaks, a lot of people listen. And, he was actually a big proponent of having the overtime line. Obviously, it cost him an opportunity to advance in a round a couple years ago down at Talladega. But he was pretty vocal in saying that maybe we only need to have overtime lines at the super speedways and maybe not at some of the smaller tracks.
I could agree with that. I mean, at the smaller tracks, you don't have – well, let's look back at the reason it was created. Was it created for – at the super speedways, not to have the massive pile up because everybody's trying to do something, on the last lap? Or was it created for, Kevin Harvick purposely wrecking two people or backing people up, to keep somebody else from winning and to keep him in the point? I think we have to address that first. And then once we figure that out, we can figure out if we need it on the intermediate track.
I really think that it was you know, created due to the issues at the super speedways, because you're coming out of there, they're talking about safety. They were talking about those restarts. You hit the nail on the head, Jamie. And I think that's why they did it, to keep from multiple pileups just continuing to happen. Then you end up with two cars on the track because everybody's wrecking because of so many overtimes.
I mean, I think if that's where we're at, then that's where it needs to be. And let's leave the other tracks alone, you know, with what we have, because we had the overtime line this past week and we had a big pileup. So, you know, it's evident it's not going to stop
and
that
one
from
things,
happening.
So right. And one of the things that upset me about the end of the race, would it look, you know, they had the accident that set up the overtime situation, but the amount of speedy dry, oil dry that was on the track there was really quite remarkable. Because I remember the first time they come through there, it looked like a dust storm had settled in over turn two, and you're thinking, what's going on here? How much oil dry is on the track? Did that play a role? And Kyle Larson spinning his tires, he's had some trouble on restarts before. But, you know, nobody really talked about that. That was one of the first things I saw the first time on the pace lap right before that, when he drove through, and I'm thinking, my goodness, look at the amount of oil dry that's coming up off that track. But nobody's really talked about that. They're just all talking about the overtime line.
Well, you know, and they put Brett Bodine in the pace car as a former driver to be able to give them information, NASCAR that is, to how the track is. And like you, I saw on that last, you know, caution lap before they went green, and I think they actually ran through it one time, and it created a huge, you know, pile on caution, and it kind of popped up, and you could see there was a lot there, and then they waved it off and went another lap. But you would think that he could have got the information to them that, hey, you know, we're not quite ready yet. And then on the other side of that, you know, you got to know if you're running through that and you're Kyle Larson, you're on the outside, direct impact with a, you know, with the speedy dry, that you're going to have to do something to get all that off your tires, or you're going to spin it when you get to the start finish line.
Yeah, it was a messy ordeal there, but overall, I thought the race for a Dover race, Jamie, was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was solid. I was impressed, and I got to watch the majority of it. But just the amount of passing that people were able to do, you know, you saw that as in, you know, 10, 15 laps to go, Larson kind of had it, and then at the end he didn't. But, you know, throughout the race, Larson was able to come up through the field, Truex was able to come up through the field, Johnson, of course, was able to do that. And you can't say with clean air and some of these mile-and-a-half tracks that they would have been able to do the same thing. So, you know, as far as the sitting down on a Sunday afternoon, I don't know what it hit on your snooze meter, but, you know, for me, it was a pretty good race.
Well, Dover is usually up there pretty high, but it was actually, I thought, you know, you had a lot of cautions. There was some tire issues. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about the ramifications of what happened to Kyle Busch and them not getting a tire on. There was a lot of, I thought there was a lot of action early on in that race. And we had some green flag action a little bit later in the race, but early on, especially within the first two segments, a lot of pretty good hard racing.
Well, I know this is going to go off the show schedule, but I wanted to get your opinion on it before I took off and hit the baseball field. But, you know, there was a lot of talk about Bubba Wallace going into the 43 car this week. And behind that talk, kind of quietly, was that Jack Roush was shutting down, you know, the six-car Xfinity team, which was Bubba Wallace's ride. It was weird kind of how that news came out, as everybody was excited about Bubba going into the 43, which I think is a great move by Richard Petty Motorsports. But then nobody said anything about, all right, Jack's shutting it down from lack of sponsorship.
And it's a tough situation because, you know, obviously I read an article today talking about Danica Patrick struggling. They're struggling to find sponsorship for that car moving forward, and so much so that this may be her last year at Stewart Haas. But with any of these cars, the sponsorship drives if you don't have the sponsorship for a particular car, you can try to tough it out for a while, but eventually that's just go away, and it's just one of those situations where at least Bubba now gets a chance to run with the big boys and kind of shows what he can do for, you know, for the next probably 6, 7, 8 weeks, and then kind of see what happens from there. As talented as he is, he'll probably find his way to find a ride.
And you look at it, Jamie, and you sit and think about the age of the sport, and we talk about the guys, how old the sport is getting, how many top-tier drivers are up there in the age. You know, it could open up something for Bubba Wallace. He gets some experience out there and does a good job.
Absolutely. And a lot of contracts are coming due. I think I read where Keselowski's is up, Kane's is up, Patrick's might be up, I think. So, I mean, and then you got Junior retiring. So there's going to be a lot of rides out there that are going to be available. So it's definitely a good opportunity for him to show what he's got. And you think about sponsorship, Scott, to your point, dang, SCP has been the sponsor of that 43 for a long time, and they hadn't won many races. So, you know, kudos to them for staying in the sport. And, you know, I guess the partnership with Richard Petty has been something that you can kind of put together.
Oh, absolutely. And they've done a terrific job of keeping that around. It, you know, it's that is really an iconic. I mean, that's as much as the checkered flags are black and white. That's how much SDP is means to the sport and being. And they've had other sponsors. I know Smithfield's a big sponsor of that car now. So, all right. Now, I'm not exactly sure. I sent my power rankings in last week. I'm not exactly sure who I actually picked. I'm sure that it was a great pick that I made last week, but one final chance, one final opportunity here to pat yourself on the back and talk about what a great job you did picking the most obvious guy to win the race. He's won 11 times now.
No different than you guys. You know, when we go to Phoenix, I think the four cars picked often by you two. So, you know, just kind of going where the money's at, and that's on the 48.
Well, good luck tonight. We look forward to that post-baseball game press conference, especially if you guys win and you advance to the championship round, correct?
Yeah, we got a doubleheader. If we win, I'm just saying we're having a doubleader because we win the first game, we go to the championship.
I like it.
So
that's Kyle. That's definitely Kyle Busch's.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's in the name. So, you know, also, it would be an all Bradley County championship, a game if we advance. So it'll be nice to have a Bradley County tournament with two Bradley County teams playing for the championship.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Good luck tonight.
Have a good show, boys.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. That is our That is our own Jamie Kyle out and about tonight. Rain kind of precluded him from being here tonight, and we're happy that he had at least had an opportunity to call in and brag for and get his 10 minutes, 15 minutes of glory again this week. But Jason, let's go ahead and let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up what was a pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about the Monster Mile is it's a kind of a break in the action to me. You see these cookie cutter tracks, you go to the super speedways, and this is a mile concrete. It's a break in the action. So I've always enjoyed Dover. It can be a snoozer, especially in the past when Johnson's ran away with it. But for the most part, I kind of enjoy it. It's just a break in the scenery.
Yeah, it is a break in the scenery and a pretty good show. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back on Racing Talk Radio.
Faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand. We just heard from our fearless leader, the man that makes the
Nostradamus there, you know.
Yeah. Making, I mean, how come on? Now that he's off the phone and I don't have to talk to him.
I mean, it's like going back to Talladega and you said, hey, I'm going to take Earnhardt to win.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, come
on. Not 88, but the three. I'm not talking
about
the
three car. One like every other race down there. I mean, yeah.
I'm
it's
picking
not,
the three.
It's not overly hard, but it was fun to talk to Jamie after taking a week off. And my adventures in South Carolina was interesting to say the very least, but thanks for joining us here tonight as we talk a little NASCAR for you right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Jason, it was I guess there was a point in time during the race where we were starting to see some real positive things out of the Toyota cars. I know Sean and Jamie last week talked about this seems to be a little bit of a lack of speed in terms of the Toyotas. But there were points in time in that race where we're starting to see the Toyotas maybe trying to turn the corner. I know that outside of Martin Truex Jr., they ended up struggling in position-wise where they finished the race, but maybe starting to see a little bit of forward movement from the Toyotas.
Yeah, you look at them, and I thought Kyle at times was running really well. But you also look, and you had three Toyotas in the top 10 in finish. You had Truex, who's been really great all year, in my opinion, the only one that's even shown that he could be consistent as far as Toyota drivers go. But you had Daniel Suarez, who had his best finish. He finished sixth, and Denny Hamlin finished ninth. So three of the top 10 were Toyotas. It's almost like, you know, we look back, and I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but remember over the past few years, we've always talked about Roush. And you said, okay, right. What are these guys going to do? Is there anything, is it an anomaly when they had a good week? I don't know that, but I know that team's too good to be held down, and I'm talking about Joe Gibbs Racing. I think that they're showing some signs of life. I just don't know if they're there consistently yet.
Right, outside of Kyle. And Kyle's problem is just, you know, something's been happening. You know, this week, and we'll talk a little bit later in the show about the penalties, but you can't, you know, you qualify on the pole, you got a very fast race car, and then you can't, you know, they had a mix-up in the pits where they forgot to lock. Actually, the wrench was going the wrong direction, so he was pulling the nuts. Pulling them off. They were already glued on, and then the jackman, I think, or one of the tire carriers was trying to put them back on the threads, and then they dropped it, and the wheel comes off, and it pretty much ends your day.
I mean, you look at in a couple weeks ago. I mean, if Dylan's not out there running a fuel mileage race, I mean, Kyle's going to win that race.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, I mean, I think that outside of, like you said, Suarez, outside of Kenseth hasn't really been impressive at all this year.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a struggle for him. And, coming up when this is a track this week that he's had some good mojo at, so maybe they can get that turnaround. Speaking of needing some good luck, a couple guys really, Junior can't really get even when it looks like they're going to have a good finish, even though the car was about a 15th place car all day, looks like he's going to finish somewhere, maybe top five, top 10 for sure. He speeds on pit row in the last at the last pit stop.
Yeah, I thought he had a good car. Yeah, not great car, but I thought he had a decent car. He even said the car wasn't that good out there, but I thought he gave himself a shot at that top five finish. And you know, he just got in his own, way again. And that's been so many times this year that they're getting in their own way, and that's why he's sitting 22nd in points, not only counting, being kind of in the wrong place, wrong time. Some of that's his own fault.
Absolutely. Talking about wrong place, wrong time, can anybody have any worse luck the last couple of weeks than the two-car Brad Keselowski?
No.
I mean, definitely absolutely wrong place. You know, Chase Elliott at Charlotte, you know, hit something. He dropped some oil. Keselowski slams into the back of him, and then this last week, Kurt Busch loses it in the turn and just goes up the track, and there's nowhere for Keselowski to go.
Yeah, he collected Keselowski there and coming out of that turn, and I mean, the two driver Keselowski, you know he's going to be there in the end because the guy's good, Penske's are good, those Fords are good. I'm not seeing a whole lot out of the 22 right now.
That was going to be my next question. It seems like the 22 is struggling, But it just seems like they don't have a lot of positive momentum going with
it. It almost seemed like when they took that victory away, then it's kind of been a downhill slide.
That's actually a terrific point. Busch Brothers, Kurt again had another. You know, we've talked about Kyle, but Kurt had another fast looking race car, and then the accident happens, and then he ends up tearing it up completely a little bit later in the race. So a little bit of struggle for the Busch Brothers at Dover.
Yeah, you know, Kurt, he's been up and down this year. Sometimes have looked really good. But after the Daytona victory that, you know, he only led, a few laps in that race, really not impressed with what Kurt's been doing out there. And you know he's got the equipment. I mean, just kind of like, you know, Harvick's got the equipment. They just can't put it all together. And Kurt's, I mean, he's been on a lot of wrecks this year. Seems like he's banged up a lot of equipment.
Well, one guy that has put together some impressive finishes and does have a win is Kyle Larson. Him and Truex were really probably the class of the field. You could probably lump Jimmy Johnson in there. Jimmy wasn't as good as those two cars, but he was probably in that next class of field. Kyle Larson has, and we talk about this all the time, leads the most laps, going to win a race. But it's sometimes in this sport, having the best car doesn't always mean you're going to win.
Poor restart. Guess what? You know, a good restart. I really like Larson's chances at that track. You know, this past week. You know, he's been, when you look at the overall body of work this year, and you think about Larson, you think about Johnson, and think about Truex. I mean, in my opinion, I think that Truex and Larson, especially Larson, stands out above the rest because it seems like they've been more dominant in more races. You know, you see that 42 target car or whatever sponsor he's got on at the time out there just leading laps. And, you know, it's sometimes difficult to put it all together, but think about how many second place finishes he had.
Yeah, he's been right there in the mix. Let's hear from Kyle Larson.
Good race for us. Obviously, I didn't need that last caution. And, yeah, I mean, Jimmy's the best of our time, probably the best of all time. So he just has obviously a lot more experience than I do. You know, on the front row late in races, and you executed a lot better than I did. So I got to get better at that and maybe get some more wins.
And that's really – this reminds me, you know, getting that first win, he got a second win this year. They've been able to put together a lot of second place finishes, but really the next step in his evolution is becoming a multiple time winner and really doing the things like Jimmy Johnson does, winning some races that you probably shouldn't have won, this case in particular. But when Jimmy gets a chance to win a race, seven times going to win a race. Larson's still learning how to do that.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I do like about what Larson's doing, I mean, he drives the wheels off of it every single week. And, you know, he's going out there and he's getting solid finishes and he's not beating himself. You know, you can look down at the 21 of Blaney. I think Blaney's going to be a great driver. But you look at some of the things, he's a little out of control at times. And I think Kyle Larson
There's not a little there. There's a lot of out of control there a lot of times.
But I think Kyle Larson's really learned to, gain control of that. And he's taking care of the cars out there. He's not beating himself. And he's setting himself up where he can get those wins.
There's a difference between where Blaney is and where Kyle Larson is. Blaney has cars that are good enough to win. Larson is giving himself opportunity to win week in and week out. And I think essentially that's part of the learning curve. Now, I grant it, there's like 2 years of difference between those guys in age, but those 2 years mean a lot, especially from an experience standpoint.
And it reminds me, Blaney's driving reminds me of Larson just a couple of years ago. You know, I mean, he just drove the wheels
on the edge, out of control. You don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
And that's Brian Blaney. That's for absolutely sure. Well, it couldn't be Dover race if we didn't talk about the 11-time winner of the race at Dover, and that's Mr. Jimmy Johnson. Started in the rear of the field, Jason, and found a way to just continually get the car better and better. And again, put themselves in position, probably not the best car, probably the third or fourth best car, but when they had the opportunity to win a race, this guy is, and not just him, but Knaus and all the stuff that they do as a whole team and an organization, they put themselves in position to win, and guess what? He's got a checkered flag.
Yeah, I'm glad you included Chad Knaus in that. You know, you think about his crew chief. Those guys, that 48 team, it doesn't matter what race, they put themselves in position to win because guess what? They're going in, they're making the right calls. They're getting the right amount of tires. They're making the right adjustments to that car in race. Even though he's running from the back of the field, they're doing all the right things, and they're not hurting themselves. I mean, we've seen Johnson, you know, have penalties before by jumping a restart. We saw that a few years. But for the most part, that team goes out there and takes care of their business and they make all the right calls.
They never beat themselves.
No.
That is one thing. We get on Junior a lot for mistakes on pit row or not getting lug nuts tight or this, that, and that, especially the last couple of years when they were a much more competitive team. We don't see that. When it happens, it's almost shocking when the 48 makes a mistake.
You don't win 83 races and 7 championships by beating yourself.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely phenomenal. I'll readily admit that I was never a big Jimmy Johnson fan. But it's over the last, especially since when he won the championship last year, the way he won the championship, the way he continues to win races, there's an excellence to what they do that you have to really sit down, take a deep breath, whether you like him or hate him or whatever.
You just got to admit it, right?
You just got to admit he could be, if not, he's in the conversation You know, we hear a lot of the LeBron, Michael Jordan talk going on right now. But he's in that conversation sure. as the greatest race car driver of all time.
I have no argument with that. When the guy's won 7 championships, like I said, just tied Kyle Yarbrough for 83 victories. I mean, that's, you know, his resume speaks for
itself.
Yeah,
when this guy's done, as long as he continues to race, nobody's touching Richard Petty's win total, because that was a totally different era. But what he's going to probably end up finish second overall and wins, and Lord knows how many championships he's going to win, because they're going to put themselves in position. You just look at the point standings week in and week out. They struggled a little early, had some things happen. They're just slowly and methodically working themselves back up towards the front. Plenty of points now, bonus points with 3 wins this year. Just a terrific job. Let's hear from Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, we had a fast car, had to overcome quite a bit of adversity throughout the day, but we still had a great car. And honestly, it all came down to a restart, and I was able to get the power to the ground. I knew it was going to be extremely tricky on those old, hot, worn-out tires, and I just got a better restart is the way it turned out.
And essentially, that's all it was. But it's putting yourself in that position to give yourself a win. There was stretches in that race where he did have the best car. He wasn't going to win that race if it stays green. He had pretty much settled back, about a half a second to a second back of Larson. But when push come to shove and it came down to one restart, there's probably not very many people you'd want behind the wheel other than Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to crunch time, you know, all you're looking for is that opportunity to go out there. And like you said, you know, he was out there probably going to finish second, maybe even third in the race if it stays green. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Larson continues to grow from this. Larson is terrific on restarts when he's not the guy leading them to the line. He's going to, especially or in the front row, he's going to have to learn that skill a little bit better. You know, Jeff Gordon, one of the greatest racers of our day, he struggled on restarts, and it's something that we're going to have to see continued improvement from Larson.
Now, did Larson choose the line?
He did. He chose the outside. I mean, and he'd gotten pretty decent restarts. I don't know how much of the speedy drive played an issue in that. But, you know, Lars, we for 6, 7, 8 restarts in a row, the bottom row did not move. And when it was time to go and Jimmy Johnson's on the bottom lane, all of a sudden it went. And Jimmy Johnson was able to get out in front before all the melee there, but a very entertaining race. I thought it was a pretty good Dover race.
I said, you go to those concrete tracks, you know, it's a break in the action, and it's something
multiple
different.
Grooves. It was a fun race. Solid.
They got to climb the fence, you know.
We had all sorts of stuff. We're gonna break down some of the other stuff that are taking place, including something I thought that was pretty interesting that's gonna happen at the Xfinity race this week at the Tricky Triangle. We're gonna talk about that. And more, you are listening to Racing Talk Radio here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio here live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Chain Studios, sponsored by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems. Thanks for being a part of the show today. Hopefully, we'll all three be able to get together again do this show.
The whole gang back together.
We may get the whole gang back together next week. That would be a little bit different. It's been a while.
Yeah, you look at vacations.
Trying to get everything ready for this big Pocono race this week.
Oh, yeah. The Exalta 400.
The Exalta 400. As I'm getting overly fired up for it, the Tricky Triangle. But one thing I am getting fired up for, Jason, they announced a couple weeks ago, uh-huh. but they promoted again this week, the Xfinity race Saturday on FS1 at 1 o'clock is going to be completely taken over by NASCAR drivers. Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, and Clint Bowyer are going to be in the booth. Like Harvick's doing play-by-play. The other two are going to be analysts. They got Blaney and Stenhouse.
And Patrick.
And are doing pit road. There's another pit road reporter, too. And I think Denny Hamlin and Danica Patrick are going to do the Hollywood Hotel part of this thing. So it's completely all NASCAR drivers. So it's something, if you got something to do, nothing to do on Saturday afternoon, it could be kind of fun and interesting to see a perspective of a whole NASCAR driver kind of production on FS1.
You know, and I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen it, but I've looked at, I've watched the Xfinity races, a lot of them on Saturdays, and I think Kevin Harvick's done a heck of a job in the booth when he's up there.
Harvick is very good in the
and
booth.
I think he's very good in the booth. I'm interested to see how Bowyer interacts with those guys, you know, because he's
better
a character
have,
on
you better
own.
Have you better have a mute button on that sucker.
Oh yeah,
you better have that 7 second delay.
Yeah, I'd like to see him doing a dirt track race.
Oh
or something,
yeah,
you know?
That would be great.
But you know, no, really, those guys have done well, and you know, we saw it. You know, we've seen Gordon go in the booth and do well. Earnhardt Jr. We've seen him in the booth before, but I think Harvick, in my opinion, it does an excellent job on calling those Xfinity races.
Yeah, you wonder if this is something that Kevin, I'm sure Kevin's involved in a lot of things.
Right.
They've got an MMA, they have a couple fighters
yeah.
Through their agency that they run. They used to be big into racing, but mm-hmm. he's kind of gotten out of that business now. But this is something he does a very good job. And we see a lot of these guys, you know, Junior's even talked about possibly transitioning and doing more stuff in the media. And we've seen a lot of drivers have some success. Dale, you know, Waltrip does, both the Waltrip guys do yep. a terrific job on TV.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, even the other guys that you see on FS1 on, you know, Race Hub and all this kind of stuff, you know, Wally Dallenbach, he's out there. You see Kenny Wallace. I mean, there's a lot of guys that stay connected
to the
sport.
Rusty does some MRN radio
yep.
now.
It's a way that these guys can stay connected to the sport even years after retirement.
And it's what I like about it is you get, especially from the guys like, you know, when Gordon talks, I mean, he was in the car yeah. last year, even though it was in a backup role. But you understand and get a different perspective exactly what's going on in the race car. Or,
yeah, I'm listening to Gordon, who knows what he's doing. I mean, he's been there, or Eli Gold. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, there's
right.
a big difference there in the perspective. A former driver, commentator.
Yeah, it's different, but it's great, and it should be. It's something I'm pretty excited to watch Saturday. I think I've got that sucker set on the DVR and gonna watch that on Saturday. Jason, I'll give you a second. Will you look up the penalties real quick?
Yes.
As we transition that, we did mention a little bit earlier that the Roush Racing has decided to shut down the Xfinity ride of Bubba Wallace. I think he's gonna run this week in the Xfinity race, and then that car is going to be shut down for lack of sponsorship. And in conjunction with that, Bubba is transitioning over, and he's going to be the full-time replacement. I think Regan Smith was in the car the first 2 weeks that Amarola has been out. Bubba Wallace is going to be in. I think they were looking originally at 8 to 12 weeks for Amarola. He says he's feeling well. I heard them talking about this on the broadcast this past week. Feeling better. But he's still not to the point where the doctors even want him anywhere near a race car. So we're still looking at 6-8 weeks plus on down the road. So it's going to give Bubba Wallace at least an opportunity, Jason, to get behind the wheel and get some additional work and practice and being a ride when his car, his Xfinity car, is without sponsorship now.
Yeah, you're looking. That's a pretty good, if you think about it, if you're Richard Petty Motorsports, I mean, you're in a pretty good situation where you can pick up a good driver. He just
a
kind
good
of fell.
Young driver.
Yeah, he just kind of fell in their lap, really. You know, what's the guy going to do? I mean, I think it's a really good shot in the arm for Richard Petty Motorsports, and I think he gives them a shot to go out there and finish well. You know, you've seen Wallace out there run well in the Xfinity Series, kind of up and down a little bit. You know, we've seen him in the trucks in the past. But I'm interested to see how he does out there with the big boys.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. NASCAR did announce some penalties today, Jason, for the 18 team and the tire incident that happened Sunday. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, NASCAR issued 4 race suspensions to the crew chief plus the tire changer and tire carrier for wheels coming off cars after pit stop mistakes left them without any lug nuts. Tight. And that was from Bob Pockrass from ESPN.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the broadcast, mm-hmm. both on MRN and on the Fox broadcast, that by rule, that is a penalty, that if you have a tire that comes loose and it's you're the reason that it happens, that it's a 4-week suspension, not only do the crew chief get suspended, but the tire changer and all crew members that are involved in that process automatically get suspended for that race. So a big blow to the 18 car For the next couple of weeks, for sure.
Yeah, and we talked about it before the show, Scott. You know, one of the things is pretty cut and dry in the NASCAR rule book. That's one of the things that's cut and dry because Joe Gibbs Racing is not appealing the suspension at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much black and white. Now, I think Darrell Waltrip questioned out loud whether something like that would because of the – really, the rule was made when they were didn't care how many lug nuts you put on the car. Then they completely flip-flopped and went the other way where you got to have everything tight or you get suspended. I just wondered if Darrell wondered out loud if that would kind of affect this penalty, but NASCAR kind of stayed the course here and went by the book and hammered some people. So Kyle Busch is going to be a little shorthanded the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Adam Stevens is crew chief. You know, you think of the 18 hasn't been all that great this year, and this is kind of a blow to that team.
All that great. He is sitting fourth in points.
Yeah.
And speaking of points.
Time for the Monster Energy Series Point Standings brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylock. Listen, some people drive by a house and think they would love to have that house, but cannot sell theirs. You can't. If that's you, then you can call Stephanie at 473-9545 or sell at 650-9429. She will get it sold, folks, and she will help you purchase the other. So, Scott, take it away.
Thanks, buddy. It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series point standings. Martin Truex Jr. remains on top. He has a 9-point lead over Kyle Larson. Those two have really kind of separated themselves. Kevin Harvick is now in third. Kyle Busch fourth. Jamie McMurray, who may make a surprise appearance in somebody's power rankings here in just a little bit, is in fifth. Jimmy Johnson all the way up to sixth now as Mr. Seven-Time continues his march towards the front. Brad Keselowski, who's had an unbelievably bad couple of weeks to no fault of his own, is in seventh. Chase Elliott, who had a pretty good race car this past week, continues to go the wrong direction in the point standings. Denny Hamlin, ninth. And Clint Bowyer is 10th, and that is your Monster Energy Cup NASCAR Cup Series standings brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylock Realty. You can call Stephanie at 473-9545 or on her cell at 650-9429. Not a lot of changes there in the points other than Martin Truex just continues to put away playoff point after playoff point, winning both stages this week. I know Jimmy Johnson's up to three wins, but, I mean, you look at the standings, Truex is got 18 playoff points already built in. That's going to be big because those points carry all the way to Homestead. So if it gets to be a point situation, you're going to have some he's got some big-time bonus points there.
Yeah, you got three drivers that have double-digit playoff points, Martin Truex Jr. with 18, Jimmy Johnson with 15, and Brad Keselowski with 12. So those guys have been performing well out there.
Right, and it's one of the things I like about the stage is you get an opportunity to gain some points and get some and put some stuff in the bank. And I think it's helped the racing. It remains to be seen as we look at it over the course of the whole year. But, even this past week, I thought the stage, and you get close to the end of stages, a lot of action starts happening on the track, and I think it's helped the early part of the race.
I think it's made it better. It definitely hasn't hurt it. And I think it's definitely made it better.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll preview the Tricky Triangle and give you our power rankings and picks for when you're listening to Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, here it's Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand with you for another 15 minutes or so to the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us today. Jason?
Got a big one coming up this weekend,
buddy. Got a big one. Got a big big speeds. Be hitting the front stretch into turn one, about 200 miles an hour. They'll be doing about 130 coming out of turn three. That hugely long, wild. The best part of the tricky triangle in the race for me is the restarts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they have that extra wide front stretch, and they'll be 4, 5, 6 wide trying to get it all back tucked in line, headed into one. So an interesting track. Three turns, as they yeah. like to call it, whatever that means.
What turn four?
But three distinctly different turns, and it really is handling is a big issue. We've seen fuel mileage play a role in this race. An interesting track in the hills of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we even saw a few years ago, Brad Keselowski gets a hot dog wrapper on his grill, and you know Dale Jr. winds up winning the race. It's a high speed. It doesn't have the high bankings of a Talladega or a Daytona, but they do get some speed down there. Like you said, the distinctive turns that makes it interesting. We've seen in the past though that these guys get out there and run. You get a breakaway car and it's over.
Over under, will we hear the word clean air or tunnel turn more this weekend? What's the who
tunnel
went?
Turn?
Tunnel turn. We'll yes. hear that. Yeah. You're probably right. Three distinct styles. We've seen all sorts of ways to win this race. We've seen people, I think when Kyle Busch was coming back from injury, he tried to go on fuel mileage, ended up running out, and everybody was all up in arms, and then he won like 3 or 4 races in a row after that. Fuel mileage obviously plays a role. Yep. It's actually affected the way they've done the segments. Originally, I think the segments were going to be 40, 80, then 80, and they've changed it to 50, 50, and 60. So you're going to have, I think fuel mileage is it's a large track. I think it's 2 miles.
It's 2 miles.
I think fuel runs are about 35 laps. So we'll kind of see how all that works. Especially, they used to run this track almost like they would run a road course. You would see people. I mean, they'd run 5, 6, 8, 10 laps. The next thing you know, everybody's pitting because yeah. they're trying to run this backwards. I wonder if the stages will impact how that plays out.
You would think it would, but not necessarily. But, if you're looking at there's enough laps in those stages, I don't think it's going to really affect it. And you said, what are they going to do, 50-50?
50-50 and then 60 in the final.
I could see where somebody's going to come in early and ride it out. It's not a caution field race. So
generally, and that's one of the my snooze factor. I always talk about snooze factor where it races. It has the potential to have long green flag runs, and be one of those races that you just kind of keep up with and not glued to your seat in front of the TV watching.
That's also why I like the stage racing. To be honest with you, because it drops that snooze factor down a little
bit. Yeah, because you got to pay attention.
Because, yep. You're going to get those wild restarts at Pocono on that wide track multiple times during a race.
And we know that we're going to have some built-in. They've essentially, the way they divided this up, this is as close to third of a race, third of the race, third of a race mm-hmm. as just about any track we've seen all year long. So it does present some opportunity for some strategy, but it'll be different. And we love to see restarts at that, because that's what makes – once they get spread out and that thing can run some green flag
yeah,
laps.
Yeah, you'll see some debris out there on the track, and maybe not – they might not find it, but you'll see some debris cautions out there this week for sure. That's a majority of what you see at Pocono, or if somebody cuts a tire.
Well – it could be interesting. The names, some of the names that are on the active driver best average finish, Kyle Larson, although he's had a limited number of starts there. But then you get Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski's had a lot of success, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick Jr. swept it, I think, in 2014. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last time it's been swept. So Kyle Busch has had some success there. Matt Kenseth's in that list, and he's really a guy that really needs something positive to happen to get that mojo flowing in the right direction as we approach the midway point of the season.
Yeah, and you think about it, and we talk about how really underperforming Joe Gibbs Racing has been this year. I mean, he's sitting in 12th, so he's not just chopped liver yet. But there's been nothing really spectacular about what Kenseth has done out there.
And let me ask you this, Jason. Yeah. If this was Matt Kenseth six, seven, 8 years ago, you would think, yeah, that looks like Kenseth. He's running. Now, he normally gets more top fives, top tens than maybe he's gotten so far this year, but that's kind of been the style of racing. When he first went to Toyota and to Gibbs, that's when we saw an uptick on wins and things like that. This is looks a little more Kenseth-like, and he's kind of keeping the just being a little more consistent. Now they just need a little more speed in the cars.
Yeah, you look at him, and you go back to and even talk about like the way I talk about Junior. You know, you look at Kenseth out there, and he never has a dominant car. He just gets out there and kind of makes laps, but he's pretty consistent at doing that. I know earlier in the year had some issues with some wrecks and things taking him out of races, and now he seems to kind of settle down a little bit. And you look, I mean, he's sitting at 12th, Hamlin's sitting at 9th. So, you know, they've kind of turned it around at Toyota, but I still don't see anything spectacular out of Kenseth.
I guess the difference really from – and I guess when you look at this time last year where these Gibbs cars were running – And the kind of speed they were making and everybody complaining, what's the Toyotas doing? What's the Toyotas doing? I guess that's probably been one of the more shocking developments of the start of this season. And I know we're several races in now, but it's been the – you can't say lack of speed because Truex has speed and he's there every week. It's the lack of consistency within an organization to really compete for wins.
Yeah, you look at a guy, you know, and take him for even baseball. You look at one year, the guy leads the league in batting average. Comes back the next year, can't even, you know, get a base hit. I mean, something like that, you know, it's really those cars really don't look that good. Let's say Kenseth, there's nothing out there that I think that he can go out there and be a dominant driver during the whole race, whether it be 400 miles, whether it be a 500 miler. I just don't see anything that's showing me right now.
It's just there's something a little amiss in that organization, and we'll see if as the summer progresses and we start to get some of these tracks where we've seen the Toyotas kind of be a little more, especially the mile and a half, if we can see that kind of energy pick up as they move forward. Well, Jason, it's time again.
Oh,
it's
time
for a little power rankings. We're going to have to get Mr. Whitfield on the sponsorship for that.
We need
some sponsorship there. Listen, unlike our leader, unlike the team leader,
yes,
I'm not going to pull people down here and make wild picks. I'm going to give you the list that the man gave us. I don't even know. I can't even imagine who I picked to win last week at
got a Jeffrey Earnhardt.
I got an Earnhardt or Landon Castle or
Benedetto.
Benedetto's your guy. When you're not here, that's your guy. I probably got somebody like Chris Buescher or I would have been okay with Buescher. Buescher won this race.
He was in the chase last year.
He won the second race in Pocono.
Corey LaJoy.
Yeah, it could be any of those. But power rankings, Jamie's power rankings, he's unsurprisingly, he has the 48 up at the top, the 18, his two favorite teams, two favorite cars, and unless somebody else wins, then he'll jump on that bandwagon in typical bandwagon fashion. Keselowski, he keeps Keselowski, who's really had some issues the last couple weeks, but he keeps him third in his power rankings, Kyle Larson fourth, and Kyle Larson fourth, and the 78 car of Martin Truex Jr. fifth. Jason, power rankings.
I've got a Mr. Seven-time Jimmy Johnson in first, solely on because he's won three races. I mean, you're looking, and really that to me that trumps the two that Truex has. But I've got Kyle Larson second, leading in points at this point. Martin Truex got him third. Jamie McMurray, I got him fourth. I moved him in this week. And I look at them, and, you know, we talked as much as we talked about the best team so far performing earlier in the year, I thought was Penske. I thought it was the Penske cars with the 22.
Right, and they've kind of hit the wall. And not some of that is Logano kind of struggling, like you said, after they had the win taken away. Some of that, Keselowski's been fine. He's just one of those racing deals. He's just had in a stretch of luck where it's really nothing he's done.
And I really didn't think I would ever be saying this, you know, 12 races in the season or however many it's been, that the best team out there right now is Chip Ganassi Racing.
They're the most consistent, that's for sure.
With the 42-1. So I'm going to go with Jamie McMurray in the fourth position. And Harvick, I just think it's a matter of time for Kevin Harvick to come away with the victory, so I moved him in the top five.
Solid. I like all those picks. I kept the 78 at the top. For me, he was right there. I think you can throw a blanket over him, Larson, and Jimmy Johnson. And that I have it Truex, Johnson, Larson. But really those three guys to me have kind of separated themselves. But from everybody else, it's they are doing some, they're consistently week in and week out putting themselves in position to win races. Larson has won only won once. Truex has won twice, I think, and Johnson three times. But those guys, I know Keselowski's won a couple times, but they've kind of had some issues the last couple weeks. They'll bounce back. I'm not worried about that. Kevin Harvick, I like what they're doing. We're starting to see, and we knew that they would be a little bit of a struggle or transition, I thought, especially at once they got into some of those mile-and-a-half, yeah, some racetracks. We're starting to see them transition, starting to see more positive things happen for the four car. Been a lot more racy the last couple of weeks. I like the direction that Harvick's going. And I really didn't want to put Busch, Kyle, a.k.a. Jamie Kyle, yeah, Rowdy, Jamie Kyle's new favorite driver, or at least his new favorite driver this week. I didn't want to move him into the power rankings, but it could have been McMurray, absolutely. But there's, I think there's kind of some separation between those five, six drivers than you, everybody else is kind of at a different level.
And you look, I mean, you sit and think about consistency, and you think about McMurray sitting in the fifth position. He's got no playoff points, no stage wins, but he's going out there and finishing strong week after week.
Yeah, fifth, sixth, seventh every single week, just putting themselves.
Nothing sexy about it.
No, nothing.
But, you know, guess what? Guess what can get you there? And if you get to the playoffs, you've got a fighting chance.
You've got a chance. That's all you got to do is give yourself a chance. Jamie picked the two car, surprisingly, this week.
Wow.
And you as well.
Yeah, I'm going with the two. You look and you see Keselowski's had some terrible luck the past couple of weeks, but he's good at Pocono. And I'm going with it. Once, when I think of Keselowski at Pocono, I think he'd get out front and nobody's going to catch him.
Yep, he should have a good race car. I kind of went out on a limb here. I wanted to pick somebody I thought that was kind of I thought was moving in a good direction, and I picked Denny Hamlin. He's finished. He has an overall average finish there, fourth out of the active drivers. So I think that. They need some good luck, and they'll have to have some break because they don't have the speed right now with some of the other cars. But this is a good track for Hamlin, so I'm picking Denny Hamlin to win this week. Jamie wanted to talk storylines coming out of Pocono. I'm going to hit you with a Preds question.
Yes.
Preds going to win this thing.
In six.
In six. They're going to bring home the cup.
They've started getting some shots by Matt Murray now, you know, where it wasn't coming the first couple of games, and they finally broke through in games three and four.
Yeah, game five to me is huge. If they can find a way to go up there and win, and Pekka Rinne can play the type of – or even just remotely close to how he played in Nashville, if they can find a way to win that and play for the championship Sunday night, so I can watch a little NASCAR Sunday afternoon and watch maybe possibly the Preds capture the Stanley Cup on Sunday night, should be a lot of fun.
But hats off to Matt Murray in those first two games because he was stopping everything.
Yeah, that's the way that sport works. If you got a hot goalie, that you can ride them a long way, as the Preds have saw, as Pekka Rinne has taken them to the cusp of winning the Stanley Cup. That's going to do it for us. Want to thank my man Jason Hildebrand for joining us, Jamie Kyle for calling in. I'm Scott Webb. You've been listening to Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. Have a good week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.